look at their Instagram.
Hey, everybody, welcome to the Seattle Restaurant Podcast. Happy Monday, everyone. Across from me, dressed very well today, and you look at the picture. I don't know. It's like he thought Dave Matthews was going to be here or something. Dave Storm, how are we doing today, brother?
I'm doing good, Sid.
Happy April Fool's Day. You going to do anything fun today?
I don't know. There's already been a couple that pretty good ones.
Like what?
Oh, there's this restaurant that never opened in Snoqualmie called Federales, and I think it's because of the name.
Okay,
they named it because there's a bunch of shit that has copyrights on it.
Right.
But somebody posted a picture that it's going to be the new Trader Joe's. In like the small neighborhoods in the mountains, everyone's like, fuck yeah! And then it's like, oh, wait, it's April 4th. Oh, and I saw something that said Coachella's moving to Washington.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. I posted this morning that Dave Matthews is going to be on, and I've got a couple of responses, so I guess obviously when it gets released, people will get it.
That made me instantly angry.
That's crazy. Hey, how's your week?
It was busy, man.
Yeah? You sound tired. You look tired. What happened? The Kenji effect still going on?
You know, it is, yeah. I got people being like, are you really friends with Kenji? Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, no, I paid him to do that.
You know, I have some really talented new employees starting, and so I've kind of been pushing it to the limits because they had to, you know, give notice and do all those responsible things that good employees do. Yeah. So I've been kind of just holding it down until their start dates. I had a great person start this weekend, and everything went really well on that end, and I got a new sous chef starting on Wednesday. So I've just been kind of picking up the slack, waiting for these things to happen.
And, well, it's a good time because, you know, you'll get them trained right for summer. And,
totally, yeah.
And you'll be in a good spot.
I'm happy about it and excited.
Can I tell you a story about my week?
I would love to hear a story about your week, Sid.
So at the end of last podcast, I was talking about doing the Bar Snacks pop-up. And like I said, it was literally a fundraiser so we can pay rent. Like, you know, don't panic anyone, but like, it being March, it's like the lowest I'm going to be financially. You know, like summer is awesome and the end of summer is great. And then it, you know, just slows down. So like, I'm going to be fine in about a month.
You spend most of that money on Halloween.
On Halloween and
and stop there.
And yeah. But, so we were going to do this pop-up, and it was a little nerve-wracking. It was kind of like the bear where it's like, you know, like, let me sell my jeans to do this pop-up, you know, because buying food for a pop-up is expensive and no one shows up, whatever. And, so I'm excited about it. We come up with a pretty dope menu. I announce it. And then, that afternoon I get an email from, there's like a little, email list that all the food trucks are on. And all it says is like, hey, we need a truck for Saturday, $600 entry fee. And I just laugh. I'm like, what the fuck is this shit? Like, $600.
You pay $600 to be there?
Well, hold on. So I responded to the person. It was a taco truck that posted it, like, advertised for someone else. And I go, what kind of event's charging $600? And she's like, hey, like, that's just, I don't, you know, here's the information if you're interested. And I was emailing just to be a dick. And
as you do.
As I do. But then I saw it was a holy festival. And I was like, well, shit, Holy Festival at the Seattle Center sounds pretty good for me. Because, you know, I do curry, and I thought it'd be good. And so I went from kind of being an asshole.
What
about
is
it.
A Holy Festival?
Holy Festival is an Indian festival. It's a color festival. They throw, like, colors everywhere.
Oh,
and, like,
yeah, yeah,
so if
yeah.
you ever seen, like, you know, if you're leaving, if you're walking
you
around.
You did that last year.
Yeah, I did with my family last year. It's a
it
great
looks
festival.
Hella fun.
And there's a bunch of them. There's one in Redmond. There's one in Finney. And then there's a big one at Seattle Center. So I just flipped my script going from, like, and actually I tried to negotiate with them. They're like, hey, it all goes to charity, like, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, okay, now I don't feel so bad.
Right.
Sign up for it. And like, and then I'm just like kind of freaking out because like I have no idea how much to prep for because it will cost money to prep. If I like, it's a first time event. I have no idea what to expect. And then I look at pictures from last year, and it doesn't look that full. And now my heart drops. Like I already canceled my pop up, and I feel bad about that. I don't like canceling anything. I already, you know, I created many.
Surprised to see that.
I usually don't do this, but I'm like, oh, fucking holy at the Super, you know, at the Seattle Center. That's like the Super Bowl for me. So anyway, so I go, fuck it. Like, I'm going to swing for the fences. I'm going to bring every piece of food I can that fits on my truck.
Go big.
And just go big. And, like, if I don't, like, I'll try to use some stuff at Fremont the next day, freeze whatever I can. But I'm in $600 for the fee. I think I spend about, like, $1,200 on food. And I get there. First hour, no one's around. And my heart's dropped.
You're starting to shit.
And I even have Ariana helping me. And then it started to fill up. And then for 3 hours, I was It was busy as fuck. And I had a line probably, I don't know, Mike, you were there. We're going to introduce you in a second, but I don't know, maybe like 30 people in line for 3 hours. And it was the busiest day of the year so far. And I can pay my rent. So, yay.
Like, good job,
Sid. So just a little story of, you know, hang in there.
Did you get to participate in some of the?
No. Ariana walked around, but no, I served 70 people per hour for 3 hours, going as fast as I can. And you know, And my buddy Mike came and said hi. And, oh, hey, Mike's here right now. Hey, Mike, how we doing, brother? Sorry, we usually don't go that long, but I'm just kind of excited about this weekend. But, Mike.
Yes.
Introduce yourself. Who are you?
Well, I'm Mike, and I'm chef and general manager over in the Seattle Center. God, I've been there for like 12 years now. But
since Skillet opened, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Open Skillet. And then... So now working a new project.
Not just a new project, your project.
My project. And
what's it called?
It's called Big Mike's.
Big Mike's Sandwiches, right?
Yeah, Big Mike's Sandwiches.
Cool. Right, this is so exciting for me because actually I started with you 12 years ago
at
the Seattle Center. I transferred from the truck to go do that. And
You worked at Skillet?
That was the last place for Skillet I worked at. And I got fired. I think I got fired working at there, because I was miserable and I hated it. But but cool, Mike. We're gonna catch up. We're gonna talk about your new project that I'm fucking so stoked about. Because like nothing makes me happier than seeing a line cook, manager, whatever, like break off and do their own thing. So yeah. I'm really excited to talk to you about everything and talk about your food. But first, over on my right, we got Brennan from Autumn. Brennan, how are we doing today, brother?
I'm doing great.
Awesome. Doing great. Who are you? Introduce yourself for the listeners.
I'm just a guy. I'm Brennan.
And you're the chef over at Autumn.
I'm the chef at Autumn.
And what kind of food is it?
It's Italian influenced P&W ingredient food.
And how long has it been open?
Almost 3 years, July.
And have you been there since the beginning?
Day one.
Cool. How'd you get involved with Autumn?
I just shot a resume out this way.
Where were you before that? What's your story? What's your culinary story?
The culinary story starts at Autumn.
Okay.
But I was in Kansas City and just trying to get back into a kitchen.
So you were cooking in Kansas City?
No.
Never cooked?
10 years ago.
Okay.
I cooked and then I took like 10 years off.
What did you do for 10 years?
Stainless steel fabrication.
No shit.
Yeah.
And what made you wake up and go, hey, I hate money. I want to get into cooking. Back into cooking.
Shit, COVID.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You
know,
yeah.
And were you just not super passionate about what you're doing, or were you just like ready for a change? What led you back to cooking after quarantine?
I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed doing stainless.
Yeah.
But I always wanted to cook and become a chef.
Eventually. What kind of cooking were you doing in Kansas City 10 years before that?
I didn't cook in Kansas City
ever.
I lived out here briefly, went to culinary school, and then worked at a butchery.
Got it.
So I had like no line experience.
No line experience.
Yeah, what butchery?
The Swinery, which recently closed.
Yeah, Swinery. Yeah. Okay, so you're in Seattle. You send your resume to Autumn. As what were you applying for?
Line cook.
Cool.
Yeah. Garmanger.
So 3 years ago, you're doing Garmanger. You got the job. How did it feel getting back on the line or getting on the line for the first time?
Oh, there's so much rust.
Yeah.
There's so much rust. You got to shake it off. But it was a lot of fun. Like relearning how to live in a kitchen.
Yeah.
That was great.
Yeah. And then how did you rise to chef there?
Oh,
kept your head down and grind?
Yeah, pretty much. I outlived everyone else that was ever in the building.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the last of the original people there.
Yep. So. 3 years is a long time for a restaurant. What do you think keeps you there? I mean, obviously the you know, the job advancement, but why are you passionate about Autumn?
The job advancement definitely is a big part of it, but I think it's just the culture inside that restaurant is by far the best that I've ever seen.
Right.
Out of anywhere. Even when you're looking from the outside in, you can just tell when you come into that building, the front of house team, back of house team meshes just so well.
Nice.
And it keeps everyone there.
Yeah. What and explain your menu a little bit.
Simple food, plated nicely. A lot of it is just comes from flavor profiles that like I kind of grew up with.
Okay. Can you give an example?
Like Southern food almost, but how to twist that into some Italian flavors.
Yeah, I was going to say, is it difficult to take the ingredients that we have in the Pacific Northwest? I mean, we have so many, though, and flip them into an Italian.
Kind of, because I'm not from here. well. So learning like growing seasons and everything has been a huge challenge.
You guys do a lot of seafood or?
That's a main focus as well. Like part of our group has a fish purveyor company. So we're using like super fresh, hyper seasonal seafood as well. Nice. So the moment things are coming in, we're on it.
That's awesome.
I'm trying to showcase those things.
Okay. Yeah. Mike, tell us about your menu.
It's growing at the pace that I like to move. We're putting an item on maybe a week.
And I'm sorry, how long have you been open?
Maybe every 2 weeks. Oh, so we've been open now for just about 2 months.
That's incredible. Yeah.
Yeah. So we have about 5-6 sandwiches on the menu right now, and some types of tids and bits, some like bacon on a steak and things like that.
Love it. Okay, I won't go into the menu in a second, but let's just talk about the whole story. So you 12 years ago, was that your first job at Skillet?
So I had worked around. I started front of the house.
Right. That's right. Yeah, I remember that.
So I had a career probably about 10 years originally in front of the house.
That's right.
Yeah, bartending. Yeah. In New York and. And through Brooklyn and whatever, and then came out to Seattle, and but my buddy of mine was like, you couldn't work in a kitchen. He's like, you're just big and slothy and whatever.
And too pretty.
Like,
yeah. Slothy. You're too slothy and pretty to work in the kitchen. You know? Yeah.
So I'm like, nah, dude. I'm like, trust me, I can do it. So basically got into back of the house on a dare.
Okay.
And it's been working, it's been
Wait,
working.
Was that Skillet? So, when you
No, really, no, okay. That was before Skillet. Okay. So that was probably like maybe like year two or three.
And that's in Seattle?
Going through the ranks. Yeah, and this is now in Seattle.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, totally.
And then you cooked around there, and then you got hired as a cook at Skillet.
Yeah, hired as a cook.
And then how you were there for, were you just there for 12 years, or did
I
bounce around?
I was at Skillet for, I want to say 8 years.
Okay.
Is that Skillet still there?
Yeah,
that's good. Yeah,
it's still there. Yeah,
still there.
And then what'd you do after year eight?
So after year eight, I got with a different restaurant group.
Which one?
And so the one I'm currently with now.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, so I got with them, and we opened up the fish and chips place, Matt's Fish Basket.
Yeah.
And so there's Matt's and Mike's.
Yep.
And that might be a further progression of where we end up going.
Basically you're running two restaurants there.
Three. Well, there's also Wok as well. Yeah.
So all three of those are your guys.
Correct.
So you're working across the street at the food court at Skillet. These guys poach you.
Yeah. More or less so.
And then was it part of the deal that they're going to give you your own name and restaurant?
Correct. Yeah.
Hey, come match these two. We're going to give you your own shit.
Yeah.
And why was that important to you? To have your name on a restaurant.
Well, because I wanted to eat the things that I ate when I was a kid.
Okay.
I wanted to eat the things that I grew up on. And it's not always fancy, not always pretty, but it's food you want in your face. Right.
It's
just like, damn, I got to eat that.
And one of the best parts about Holy was I just look over, I see you walking over, and you brought me this huge sandwich. Actually, sorry, one of the worst parts of Holy, because I was so busy, I just had to look at this gorgeous sandwich, and I couldn't eat it, but until the end. But I did eat it 4 hours later, and it's delicious. But yeah. So what are the kind of sandwiches you have on the menu right now?
Yeah, so right now we have the chopped cheese, a hot beef that's I would say it's about as close as you can get without being in Chicago.
Yeah.
Obviously, I'm not from Chicago, but the partners are from Chicago, so they're like, Mike, there has to be a hot beef. I'm like, all right, well, it's going to be great.
Yeah.
You do a wet or dry or anything?
Well, we baptize it if you want.
Nice.
But
you get that option.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That's important.
It is.
Are you a fan of the bear?
Who isn't? I mean, you kind of got to watch the show. I do find myself, kind of picking at it, dissecting a little bit, but... I mean, how could you not watch it?
I do the same thing. There's things where Brendan, are you a fan of The Bear? Did you watch that?
Yeah, I've watched
There's things we're doing. If you're not from it, we're doing a pop up dinner based on it this Sunday. So I have
you are.
But I've seen it probably 30 times in the last month because I have been
doing that R&D.
The R&D, like. I mean, we're gonna have a long conversation next Monday because I can't talk about anything yet because, you know, like I've said, like everything's kind of gonna be a surprise because like we sold out, so we don't have to like release the menu or anything. I will say we did. Me and Denali were on the news this week.
I saw that,
and we made a our version of
you guys look so good.
Thank you. Actually, it was Denali's first time on TV, and Chef killed it. And
yeah, man,
and
he looked just sharp. Absolutely murdered. Looked like he did it a million times.
Exactly. So nice job, Denali. But yeah, we did our. So that was one dish that's kind of been released. We're doing a beef tartine that's kind of a take on a Chicago beef, but sorry to cut you off, but yeah, what other kind of sandwiches we got in there?
Yeah, so you know, we have a New York chop, pretty classic.
So mostly beef, kind of.
Yeah, so you're looking at like you know a chopped up cheeseburger,
yeah.
If you would, you know, and I just. You know, I like throwing the extra cheese on it and the flaming hot Doritos. And nice. I mean, it's just, you know, I the thing I always say is that, you know, I serve it the way I eat it.
Yeah.
You know what
I'm saying? Is that something you do? You put flaming hot Doritos on your sandwich?
Yeah, sure.
That's
sure,
amazing.
Sure, sure.
How do you,
I love potato chips on a sandwich.
Oh, yeah.
It's perfect. Chip. It's perfect. You know, it just blends the texture and gives you different flavors. Totally. And yeah.
What, so here's a story. So, you know, like I said, it was $600 to be participant at Holy. And I was like, hey, I should probably bump my prices up a little bit just to cover that cost in case. And so what I did was I walked around the Seattle Center to see what the current prices were. And I noticed, like, your sandwich is about $23, one of them.
Yeah.
Which made me feel great because I was charging $9. Like, I was like, I want to go up to $21. And listen, folks, if you're listening, this is not a game about, like, hey, how much can I rip off the customer? It's really, like, I'm just trying. Like I said, I told Dave this morning, like, I made more money this weekend than I did for 2 months. So, like, it's not just about squeezing every dollar out of the customer. It's about, like, you know, paying rent and how much, you know, whatever. So I want to charge $21. I end up doing $19. It was fine. I made my money. It was great. Why $23? Or you know what? Explain like how the rent at Seattle Center and like why how you come to these prices.
Oof. Well, you know, listen.
Do your sandwich come with sides, by the way?
Yeah, so it does come with sides, okay. And so right now,
I think that's important if we're going to talk about the price of the sandwich.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, let's talk about this side of what it comes from. So all our fries and everything is actually. So they're hand-cut fries. We cut them, blanch them. We do everything.
And that takes labor.
In-house. That takes a ton of labor. And storage space. I mean, because, you know.
Yeah.
I mean.
Lexion's a blanched, limp fries.
And, you know, we're doing about, you know, literally an actual ton of fries a week. So, I mean, and they're all cooked in, you know, 100% beef fat.
Oh, no shit.
Oh, so yeah. So, that's,
so, I mean.
Beef tallow is a
Do you have anything
more
vegetarian?
Expensive.
At the spot?
No.
Good. Because it's a food court and you don't have to.
No, I don't.
I love that.
You know, I love my vegetarians. I love my vegetarian peoples. I tried to be vegetarian for about 2 weeks.
Okay.
And I'm on a date and on Valentine's Day and she's like, wait a minute. She's like, you don't drink anymore and now you don't eat meat? She's I can't do it anymore.
And so did you eat meat that night?
I did. I broke. I went but 2 weeks.
It's better than drinking.
I guess.
All right,
I
took a shot. Just impress this girl. By the way, side note, congrats. How long have you been sober for?
Oh, I've been sober 12 years.
You know what? I don't. I hope you don't mind me telling this story.
Like, that's awesome, man. Congrats.
I think I might have hired you, maybe.
Yeah.
And I think you're like, hey, I need this one day off. I need it off every day. I go, oh, yeah, you can take off for AA or whatever. Yeah. And you're like, how'd you know? I go, I've been in the industry for a while.
Yeah,
whenever someone says
that,
that's right. I don't know. How, 12 years ago.
That's right.
And I was also a raging alcoholic back then. so I see the signs.
I remember that too.
Brennan, talk to me about the pricing at Autumn, and do you have anything to do with the costing? Or
I have everything to do with that.
Cool. So talk to me about like how your pricing works and like what an entree costs and how you come up with that.
Entrees right now cost anywhere between like $42 to upwards to $54. That comes down to what protein it is, what cut, portion size, but still trying to, like you said, it's not trying to milk a customer for their dollar. It's about providing a certain value that is both fair for the customer and for the restaurant.
Do you have a formula or anything that goes along with that, or is it just...
Yeah,
behind the scenes mathematics.
It's just a bunch of math. I mean, start explaining it on the sense of like versus weight, like weight of waste to for like a New York strip, if it's 13 pounds and I take off the chain, a couple ends are a little scraggly, like there's, I'm using that waste elsewhere, but that's still factored into the usable portions for the a la carte menu. So then you're using that, and that can change your food cost percentage from 30% food cost to 40% food cost on that. So then you have to price it accordingly.
Yeah.
And if you don't butcher well and you're losing,
then it gets worse.
It gets and then it just starts getting worse. But I for the most part, try to keep everything in like a ballpark area of like 24% food cost, which is like super solid. But
yeah, it's good, especially for rising costs.
Yeah.
I mean, that's. And
I pride ourselves like on our value,
right,
like what we provide versus the value. It seems expensive, but once you sit down and have a meal, you're like, oh man, this was worth it. The whole meal, the whole experience was worth it. So,
yeah, I mean, it is funny because you hear $55 to $60, like that does sound high, but then again, you know, like my dish is, you know, 20. You're a sandwich from the food courts, you know, 30 after tip and everything, whatever. Like, yeah, it's just funny how it works, but and we're still scrapping along.
Well, I mean, do you feel like we're getting in the day and age where do you expect the customer to know a little bit about what's going on behind the scenes?
It's a great question. I saw a thing on Reddit where on it's a subreddit I follow about kitchen life, and there's like, why is there a glass ceiling with cooking and stuff like that? And it's like, why is there just the values never seen in it? Why can't, like, if you work at a video game place, like you have the option of making $500,000 or like $300,000 or whatever, like you can always go up and up and up, but there's never going to be a restaurant in Seattle that pays a chef $300,000, $100,000, there's never, like, yes, there's restaurants that pay chefs $100,000 in the city, but they're never gonna get to $500,000 a year, you know. Yeah. Unlike any other industry, where like, yeah, that's, I'm not saying there's a ton of people that make $500,000 a year, but there are opportunities to get to that point. I don't know. I would like to believe it.
I feel like I think that's why we get so frustrated, is because you know, if you just look at costs around your area, it's pretty obvious why a lot of restaurants charge what they charge.
Yeah.
And when you look at wages going up because the cost of living is going up, it's the writing's on the wall. So I think that's why I get frustrated when people do complain about costs. It's like you said, like, really, man, we're not worth it. Like,
well,
our purveyors aren't worth it.
Well, you just gotta remember, it's easy to complain. It's free
totally,
to complain.
Totally.
And there's a couple different factors.
And it is up to us to make it worth it.
Right. Yeah, totally. And you know, there's ways to look at it where it's like, you know, there's the person that makes a shit ton of money, that's bitching about the price of food, that, and they're the reason. And then there's the person that just is fucking broke and it's like at the end of the wits because, like, you know, they got to pay their car tabs and the fucking 520 toll, and then like now a sandwich is $20. So, like, you know, I'm not angry at people that are. I think I'm more angry with people that can afford it than not afford it. Is what I'm trying to say. Yeah. If I'm trying to make it obvious.
Well, I think everybody in this room's hearts are in it too. Right. And then you have restaurants out there that are literally just getting a box from Sysco that's frozen, defrosting it, putting it on a sheet pan, and charging $25 a pop.
Right.
For an airliner frozen chicken breast with some fucking out of season asparagus and some rice pilaf.
Yes. The four of us are not in it for the money. But we do have to pay rent.
And we do like money.
But we do like money. But then there's people, yeah, there's businesses. Yeah, so, like, you know, pick who you want to support.
Totally.
Let's see. Hey, where do you guys like to eat around here? Mike?
You know, it's a good question.
Because, like, I know you're probably putting a ton of hours. Like, how many hours are you at right now?
Weekly?
Yeah.
I mean, weekly it goes to 70, 80 hours a week, you know?
So you're probably eating at the Subway at the Seattle Center?
Yeah. I mean, totally. I mean,
but, but there are some other spots at the Seattle Center and Queen Anne. Like, where do you go out when you're not eating at one of your own restaurants?
Let's see. Where did I go last week? I mean, last week I went to... I was actually at Ocha over in Renton, Thai place.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Yeah, got to shout them out because they great food.
Ocha?
Ocha.
What would you have there?
I had the garlic, crispy garlic something chicken.
Yeah.
It's so good. Nice. It's like their number one thing on the menu.
Okay.
And it's just, you know, it's crispy chicken with garlic in, you know, like a garlicky kind of sauce.
How do you find inspiration for your menus?
I travel.
Yeah.
Yeah, I do a lot of traveling, man. I woke up like 8 years ago and I was like, damn, you know, I don't have a hobby. Like, there's nothing. Yeah. I don't like doing anything, you know?
Like, well, especially after you quit drinking. Like,
yeah,
you know, there,
yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not going out after work. And, you know, so it's like, what do I like? Nothing. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, do I like a draw? No, I don't want to do all these things. So, like, I started to travel, you know, and like, I just.
And how did you do that?
Travel and eat.
Like, how
did you.
I find
the cheapest places to travel to, you know what I'm saying? And I just go and see.
By yourself?
By myself, with friends. Yeah. I mean, you know, like whatever, you know. So it's like.
So what was some of the cheap places you've gone to?
Man, you know, and there's a reason why I've gone back like 2-3 times, and that's Thailand, man.
Yeah.
I mean, like Bangkok, I mean, it's just sick food all day, all night, you know, and it's like.
I've never been. Let's say I can go there for a couple of days. Tell me my day. What am I doing? Where am I eating?
Waking up, you're eating whatever's off the street.
Yeah.
You know, whatever's off the street. I mean, you know, like my day starts with like fruit, you know, that was like clearly grown in this person's yard. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't have any big, plantations or whatever. And, you know, Dole is just not like chilling there. And, you know what I mean? Like
so it's super fresh fruit.
Yeah, it's what this person grew. You know, it's what the wares that they're bringing. You know,
and what's the street food like?
The street food is just sick. I mean, it's everywhere. I mean, you know, and what's cool is, you know, like, I'm like 90 years old. When I do eat, you know, I'm eating at like 5-6 o'clock. But, like, you can't even get the good stuff until like 8, 9, right. 10, 11. You know what I mean? And, I mean, the food is just banging. You just pouring till it's like, yeah, I want that. Like,
and then there's like late night too?
Oh, yeah, totally late night.
And what's your late night meal?
Big gelatinous, like, stuff, you know what I mean? I just see fat, and it's like, oh, and you're gonna fry it now? Like, oh man,
it was good.
You've,
the way
it was. You've described so much, but you haven't named a single thing.
Big gelatinous stuff.
Big gelatinous stuff.
I'm about descriptors.
I love it.
You know, I'm about descriptors.
Let our imaginary, let our imaginations do the rest.
Yeah.
You should do a pop-up dinner where like you don't say what the dish is, it's just a description. Just drippy, wet.
No, but just like, you know, like awesome pork.
Yeah.
You know, like lots of like pork and like not a lot of beef, I find, you know, when you go away. Like you know, and even like traveling India, like some of the curries and like, you know, it's just food from the soul, food from the heart, you know. And I kind of think that's like where, you know, like my cooking journey and path goes to, because it's food for my soul and food for my, you know, path. Yeah. And, you know,
that's
so
great,
it's pretty
man.
Cool.
I'm glad you're getting to have those,
you know,
experiences.
With you said the Chicago beef was, you know, as close as you can get.
Yeah.
Why? You know, you say cooking with your heart. Like, I have a big thing where, like, I've talked about before, I don't really care about being authentic or, like, trying to hit someone else's memory. Which, like, do you ever get, you know, people talking about Chicago beef saying it's like, oh, it's just like home, or it's like, it's not perfect, or it's not, you know, that kind of thing where they're trying to make it something that they've had before?
Yeah, you know, I do get those. And I'm like, well, was it good?
Yeah, exactly.
And they're like, oh, yeah, it was better than Chicago. And I'm like, well, that's kind of the point, man.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, boom. You know, you hit on it.
Brennan, you're over there in Finney with a lot of great stuff. What are your spots?
My spots are usually like just some teriyaki spots, you know? Like up in my neighborhood, got teriyaki time, which is like a pretty frequent spot for me to go to.
Yeah.
But a new restaurant that just opened up that way, Sofan, I went there last week. Delicious.
Fantastic, yeah.
Yeah, it is. It's super incredible.
Real quick, Dave, your boy Kenji, he's been doing this teriyaki tour.
Yeah, it's been fun.
I feel like there might have been an article a couple years ago, or, you know, there's like a Banh Mi one too, where this guy went to every Banh Mi place. Do you think there's a point? Like, I mean, do you think there's a point to this? Do you think that there's that much difference in all these teriyaki spots, or any of you guys? I feel like the range is pretty small for me, but I.
Well, know. There is like watching Kenji's. Go to all these places and describe, like, I've never really been an iceberg lettuce fan, and the little dressing, I just kind of brush aside.
I love that. It's only salad I like.
See, well, now I'm a little more interested because I didn't know it changes from spot to spot. A lot of them are homemade. A lot of them are just fucking Italian dressing and mayo. And yeah, I mean, there's a lot of little points he brings up. The dumplings that come with different ones. Like, yeah, all these things matter on choosing where you want to go get teriyaki. So, yeah, I find it interesting. And,
yeah, I guess I didn't think about being more dynamic than that.
Yeah, and certain people, certain teriyaki spots, obviously, their rice has a little, you know, there's some technique in some, and then there's none in others. And the teriyaki sauce itself is...
it's coming from a bottle.
Yeah, totally. So I think all that stuff is important.
If you, let's say you work for a news organization like that, and they're like, hey, Dave, we want you to do... like review every single blank restaurant in Seattle. What type of food would you do? Because I saw the banh mi one, and like that one makes me kind of horny. Like I would like to eat every banh mi in Seattle.
Pho would be a good one.
Brennan, if you had to pick,
pho would be a really good one.
Yeah,
I think next would be like ramen or poke. Probably go poke.
Hot pots would probably be my domain after backpacking through rural China, because that's what I stuck with, so I didn't get sick on anything, because I still had a lot of miles in front of me.
Explain that to me.
Well, there's a lot of stuff on the street that looks delicious, but you're like, I really can't risk my body rejecting this right now, because I still have 10 miles to fucking go before I get to my hotel room, and I don't speak the language, so that could take like all fucking day.
So with hot pot,
it's always boiling.
It's always boiling, so...
Yeah, and you can see it.
Yeah.
You know,
can I get some more descriptors, please? Yeah.
Boiling.
Bubbling.
Not gonna kill you.
Yeah, totally. Well, in a lot of places, boiling is the same as refrigeration. That's how you know. And so... So that was my jam, and I ate a lot of it. And so that would be an interesting one for me.
Yeah.
So sign me up,
Mike. What if Seattle newspaper goes, "Hey, we want you to go try every blank in the city. What you gonna do?"
Yeah, you know, I got to take the easy one here and be like either banh mi or pho, because it's fantastic here in Seattle. I mean, they do it right.
I take mine back. I want to do every torta. Out of a taco truck.
You don't want to do a fucking wrap?
I think tortas are one of these things where, like, they're probably my favorite thing to get from a taco truck. And, you know, you don't think about it because you're always getting tacos and burritos and shit. But, like, it's one of the best sandwiches in the world is a torta. Like, just, I don't know.
It's something I'm not very familiar with, actually.
Tortas?
Yeah. I feel all right, cool. Yeah. Speaking of bro dates.
Yeah.
I went to I had no idea how reputable this place was, and I'm probably gonna fuck up the name. It's Carnitas Machocan,
you did worse than I do. But you go with Chris.
It's right by Chris and Noah and I met.
Noah from Larson Made Knives.
Yeah, my favorite.
Did Chris talk to you about his new schedule at work?
Can I finish with the food first, Sid? Me. I met Chris and Noah there, and then I went back to them. Oh, and it was fucking delicious. And I guess right after I left, Chef Chachi showed up and started photo bombing everybody.
I'm sorry, who did?
Chachi.
Oh, yeah.
But it was delicious. I went back to the mountains and came back and met Chris. We wanted to go to Palace Kitchen, but it's closed on Mondays because we were going to El Corazon to see Leftover Crack. And so we ended up eating at Lola. And that was pretty good. We shared the lamb burger and had some sides, and of course the coconut cream pie and the donuts. But so you saw that post that Canlis did where they're closing on the weekends for summer to give their employees real weekends off. I have not talked to Chris about how he feels about that. I'm a little upset because that means Chris and I don't have any days off together now. But I think it's pretty cool.
Hear about this? Canlis is going to be closed on Saturday, Sundays. Summer.
I mean, they're booked out anyway, so it doesn't really matter what day of the week you're seating your dining room. If it, you know, three full seatings, it doesn't matter if it's a Monday or a Saturday night. It's still the same amount of people coming through your business.
Would you want that? Would you want if you were in that position?
Well, I like having Mondays and Tuesdays off because everyone's at work.
Yeah, yeah.
And I get the everything to myself. Yeah, there's no crowds. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Mike, what about you? Would you want the Saturday, Sunday off schedule if you had the choice?
You know, I enjoy working weekends.
Yeah.
It, you know, it gives me the ultimate, oh, we have a baby shower.
Yeah.
Would you like
to- Excuse,
oh,
yeah.
I'm working.
That is one angle that Candace didn't think about. They're fucking over their employees. you're like, I've been able to get out of anything, but yeah. Brendan, would you
baby
want
showers?
Oh, not every week.
Yeah.
Yeah, the occasional is nice. That seems like kind of what
normal
Mike was
people.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. That's too normal.
I don't want to be the normal in the normal people crowd. Right. And even with concerts and shit, like that, like the bands roll through town on Mondays, Tuesdays, Wednesdays, you know? The only thing you're really able to take advantage of with that, I feel, is like these summertime festivals, Capitol Hill Block Party, Bumper Shoot. But which, by the way, thanks for all the Bumper Shoot love you gave me in the past, man, because when he was running Skillet down there, he would hook me up.
Yeah.
Now you come to Mike's.
Now you come
Dude, I'll be there.
I might be at Bumper Shoot this year. We're still working. So here's what's interesting. I booked my schedule in like December, January, and I had Thursday, Friday, and Sunday. And I started to freak out because, you know, we've been talking about. I was broke as fuck. And so I need a Saturday thing. And so I picked up the Magnolia Farmers Market.
Have you done that one yet?
I haven't done it, but like I was just like, I need to do something. And their thing is like, hey, you can do it. And it actually might lead me to doing the U Village Farmers Market in the summer, or in the winter, which is like my ultimate goal, is to work Saturday, Sundays in the winter. So I'm pretty stoked about it. However, now the events are rolling in. And they're very like adamant, like, hey, dude, like, if you book, you're going to book, but don't cancel this bunch. And like, I've already had to cancel like eight days. Because like, there's stuff like, you know, like Bumper Shoot that like, or you know, I'm going to Kentucky Derby and like, you know, all these festivals and stuff.
Has anybody heard anything about Tamara Murphy's Burning Beat and the date on that? Because I've been trying to like wait it out until she announces it, but
so
people
keep hitting
me up.
I guess the point of my story is to be patient. Because, like, I mean, it's different for you because you're not a food truck. But for me, like, I feel like I'm already thinking about 2026, you know? Like, and so I feel like my schedule is 100% booked until end of October. Like, I cannot fit anything else. If I get something, I'm going to have to cancel something, which I don't love doing. But at the same time, like, I literally am getting emails now about, like, Marymore and, like, Pride Festival and stuff like that in March. So I'm getting March things for June, and that feels late. So, like, if Tamara's doing it in August, it might not feel late to her. It might feel like 3 months is enough lead time or whatever. But
Totally.
But a year is, like, you know.
I just got, you know, I'm like, did I miss the announcement? Or
maybe you're blacklisted. I don't know.
I know. But I love you, Tamara.
Let's see. Where did I eat this week? One of my favorite places over on 105th, I guess Greenwood, La Cabana. Anyone been to La Cabana?
Yeah.
You ever drive there doing from like the 12 to 1, like it's constantly packed with like, you know, and it's Central American food. Absolutely amazing. It's hard to get in there that's why I don't go there that often. And me and my buddy John, we decided to go there and like we went there at like 1:30 and it's completely empty. So I think it might just be like maybe a construction worker thing or there's a reason why like that 12 to 1 is just always packed. But you know, I have some unpopular food opinions. Like I'm not a huge fan of pasta. I'm not a huge fan of actually ramen and stuff like that. And I also am not a huge fan of tamales. I've never loved a tamale. I'm getting the dirtiest looks in the studio right now. I rode through these guys. I can feel how hot.
Yeah, what's wrong?
But
with
I don't.
You?
I don't. I just. I've never like had an amazing tamale. And I was talking to John about it. He kind of told me some differences. And let me try his. And it was the best tamale I ever had. It was just like there's a ton of fat in the masa. It's just a different thing. So I think maybe it's one of those things. I just haven't had good tamales.
That'll do it.
That'll do it. Had a great torta at Taco Loco.
Did you say taco time?
Taco Loco. No. after a very, I think that busy day this Saturday had a giant meal at the Lock Spot Cafe, one of my favorite spots in Ballard, and went super 80s and got like the little shrimp salad and like what do you call that, the Louis and
I can't stand those little shrimps.
I don't know why I did it. I've never ordered it, and I was like, man, Bay Shrimp's so good. And yeah,
I avoid
good.
That shit.
It was the same, you know, it's like the Thousand Island dressing. Like, yeah, just it was.
But why do people hate them so much? Is my question. Like, I'm fine with them. Like, I know, like, I'm fine with all these people that
I think I, well, I used to live on the Gulf Coast when I was growing up. And so I would order like a shrimp dish and expect fucking prawns and get that shit. And I'd be like, this. And you know, of course, my mom would be like, well, it's, you ordered it, eat it. You know, and I'm like, fucking little insect shrimp. You know, as I get older, I learned to. But
so you're totally fine eating a squirrel, but no small shrimp.
Correct.
I forgot, Brandon, you said your spots, right? Any other spots you want to touch base on? I feel like I might have cut you off.
I don't think any other spots to touch up on. I mean, I got a running list of places I need to go check out.
Yeah,
same.
Yeah. But I feel like everyone.
And now Autumn's on one of them. Thanks.
Yeah. I feel like I need to start creating a calendar because I you know, there's stuff like a lot of the guests. I go, you know, I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna stop by. I just, you know, I forget about it. So I just need to start creating a calendar. What's some of your top spots?
Mari Pili.
Yeah.
In Cap Hill, yeah. Driftwood over on Elkhai.
Yeah.
Those are the and then Seabird.
Yeah.
Chef Alex is at.
Seabird's at the top of my list.
Yeah. Family Friend, I'm trying to get to. I keep on hearing about that and their burger. Let's see. Before we get out of here, let me tell you. Actually, yeah, I would go last. Before we get out of here, give me some plugs. Tell us about your other restaurants, what might be happening in the future, and, you know, when we can come see you at the Seattle Center.
Yeah. So, you know, the great, unique thing. Is that, you know, we're over in Seattle Center, so we're open 7 days a week. You know, we can.
Are there any landmarks around there so people know where you are?
Yeah, you know, if you look up and, you know, if you see huge Space Needle, that's where I am, you know? So yeah, I mean, head on to the Armory, Seattle Center. You know, it's inside this really. Old, cool, former armory. And, you know, you get some great food there. And, you know, there's always a festival going on. So
how many restaurants are in there now?
So total amount of restaurants, geez, I got to say, is about 15 or 20. Our group is three of them. So,
what are the hours for the Armory? Cause I know sometimes I've gone in there and it's like, okay, nothing's open.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, on the weekends, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you can always catch us from 11 a.m. to 7. The weekdays are kind of hit and miss, but we're always open till 4 p.m. So 11 to 4, 100%. If there's a concert or a Kraken game or anything like that, you can guarantee we'll be open. So if you're there for any type of festival, we will be there.
How do you, with the influx of volume, like, you know, it could be something like Bumbershoot or a Kraken game where you just get, you know, totally destroyed. And then I remember working at, you know, Skillet where it's like completely dead days. How do you handle that with staffing and having the right amount of employees and food and all that stuff? Is just something you've gotten used to over the last couple of years, or how do you handle that?
Yeah, I mean, well, that's, you know, I think every restaurant has their, you know, their things that they kind of got to figure out. And that's, you know, that's kind of the magic point of it. Also, you know, throughout the summer, you know, guys have just worked so hard. So the good ones stay and the shitty ones leave.
Yeah,
so
right.
It's like, you know, it's the perfect balance because, you know, a lot of guys ask me, dude, what are we going to do? We have so many people. I'm like, don't worry.
Yeah, yeah.
They're going to drop off.
Have you had any nightmare stories of just being completely understaffed at like a Bumbershoot or something like that?
No, you know, I've always maintained good ties in the restaurant industry. And like, there's always people I can call and be like, hey, dude, I need you to work a shift for me. You know what I'm saying? Come on down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And they're like, yep, gotcha.
Gotcha. Yeah.
You know, and they're there. So, cool. You know, I even during COVID, you know, it was just like me and this one other guy and you know, it's like, come on, man, we're just going to open whenever.
Yeah.
We're going to sell food. People come. Great. Yeah. They don't.
You guys remember when Skillet, the counter was like the place where we sent all the rejects from like all the Skillet restaurants?
Wait.
Like if you were getting on our fucking nerves and falling behind, we'd send them to the counter.
So that's what happened to me, I think.
Because
Brian was being a real cocksucker when I was working there, and he'd like take days off. He'd be like, "Oh, you didn't shave today. Like I'm taking a shift off," and like stupid shit like that.
Yeah, it was an unspoken thing. I'd be like, "Where'd Sid go?" And they're like, "He's at the counter now." And I'm like, "Yeah."
Well, if I can work that. You know what's funny, man? Here's something really funny and awesome. Actually, just really awesome. You know, my first job was, with, you know, in Seattle was with Skillet and working with Josh and seeing him in the kitchen in Georgetown every day. And did you worked with Josh,
yeah,
right?
Course, yeah.
And now he's working at a Last Call.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get to see him every morning. So, like, fuck, I don't know, like 15, 16 years later, like, we're just hanging out every morning.
Where is Last Call?
It's in Fremont. Freelard is where my kitchen is.
By where you're... Drunky,
it's where Drunkies used to be. Mm. So I have my kitchen there in like an area, and then he runs the bar and he's doing food there. I think Thursday, Friday, Saturday, he's doing like cheesesteaks and stuff, and also running some other projects. So yeah, just that's really awesome because like, you know, the bar's open from like 2 to 2. So like, I usually get there in the morning. So for the last 2 years since I've been there, I've been just alone, like kind of going crazy, cooking by myself. So it's nice to have someone else there.
You're bumping butts place. With Josh in the kitchen again?
Yeah.
That's cute.
Yeah, it's great. Brennan, what do you want to plug? When can we come see you at Autumn?
You can come to Autumn 7 days a week, 5 p.m. to 10 p.m.
No shit. So this is a huge thing. Shota just posted this where he's talking about restaurants that are open on Monday because... you know, like if you work at Canlis and you work every Monday, or sorry, you know, if you're like Dave and you're off on Mondays, it, sometimes it's hard to find a place to eat. So that how busy are you guys on Monday?
You would expect it to be busier. There's so many restaurants in this city that are closed Sunday, Monday.
Yeah.
But it's pretty steady, you know. As long as you're in a restaurant that's getting one turn on the weekdays, I think you're in a good spot. And that's kind of about what it is. Yeah. You know, we got like a good kind of regular crowd, neighborhood crowd, especially like on
Finney's great for that.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, come into the Finney neighborhood, Autumn. You know, you're not a big fan of pasta, it turns out, so maybe not you now.
Well, yeah. I will find something on the menu that I like. I just pause. Like, got it. I'm the worst.
You seem super like for somebody who doesn't have this long list of being a chef, like you're on point, man. Like you just seem. Like
you know your shit, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Like you should have this long history of being a chef. So, no, man, that's awesome. Good on you.
Hey, thank you.
Cool. Before we get out of here, let's see. You know, the Bears sold out. So, if you are coming,
who got the one ticket, man?
My buddy. So here's what's fucking annoying. So you know, we had this one ticket for the longest time. I went on the news. I go, like, we're gonna sell this right away. I think we went on Thursday, and I kept on checking it all fucking day. And the thing with Talk, if you add it to your basket, it will appear sold out. So you have like 50 minutes to buy that ticket if you want. So all day people were putting that ticket in their basket. I'm like, oh, fucking, finally it's sold out.
And then it reappeared.
And it was so frustrating because like I want to work on the 90,000 things I'm supposed to be working on for this dinner, not checking to see if this one ticket sold. And then it's still not sold at like 8 o'clock. I go to poker. I'm
going to start doing that to you every event you do.
What you can do is you can put all, like, if I announce the thing, you can
just put all of them.
Well, that's what happened. Like, but anyway, so I was bitching about it to my buddy at poker, and he looked at his calendar and was like, oh, I'm free. I'll buy it. So, like, my buddy bought it. Thank you, Steven. Man, I can't wait for next week to talk about it because there's been a lot of hard work on this. But so the Bear, this Saturday.
So the Bear is Sunday.
Bear Sunday.
What's happening Saturday?
Saturday, we got Taco Libre at Magnuson Park at the Magnuson Hangar, 4 to 10 p.m. I'm going to be doing a birria kutu. And there's going to be a ton of food vendors all doing tacos. There's luchador wrestling, margarita bar, bunch of fun stuff. So Saturday, it looks like it's going to be sunny. Come out to Taco Libre because it's going to be really fun because I got Taco Libre. What's up?
Finish what you're saying, and then I want to go back to the Bear.
Yeah, so I got Taco Libre on Saturday, big event. Then I wake up in the morning, do Fremont Market. Then I haul ass to go to the Bear dinner.
Well, you're doing the Fremont Market before the dinner?
I have to. That's how I make money. Yeah, I mean, money off the dinners.
That's your church.
That's my church.
So what time does the Bear start?
The market ends at 4. My load ends at 4:15 across the street at Dreamland.
Holy shit. And how many tickets were sold?
80.
All right.
80. We will talk about all next week for about 2 hours because I'm fucking so excited. But there's that's all my plugs. I want to give a shout out to two things. One, Girly Press for this thing. It's my job to get menus printed, and I was like, I'm going to do this really early so it's out of the way. And then I kept on waiting, and the menu kept changing a little bit. And then I emailed – so then I'm like, okay, I need to find a printer. I emailed about, I don't know, 15 printing companies in Seattle, and Girly Press by far was the most responsive. They're not giving me anything for this. I just want to give them a shout out because they're so amazing. But like, I went down there. They showed me some different options for menus, and it was a really great experience. And I actually put a typo on there that I found out this morning for the podcast. I just emailed them. They emailed me back saying that it's already been printed, but they gave me some options. So wonderful, wonderful company. And then Fantastipack. Okay, so. I needed some labels for this dinner, and you'll see why on Monday. And again, ran late and was trying to find a place I can do a quick turnover. And I called up the people that made the labels for Ballyhoo Hot Sauce. I called them up. They're like, we can't do that turnaround, but here, use these guys. They're like our sister company. And I'm just running busy, and I put the artwork in, I order it. And this is one out of like 10,000 things I'm doing for this dinner. And then like 2 days later, I go, I never got like a confirmation or like what the turnaround is. And I'm like, well, I thought it said 3 days somewhere. So I email them like, hey, I just want to confirm what my turnaround date is. And they go, cool, it'll be done on April 8th or like April 4th to 11th, somewhere in there. I'm like, well, the dinner is on the 7th. and then I'm going to be 100% honest. I kind of got a little Karen at this point because I'm just stressed out. Because now I'm thinking, okay, now I got to wait for these labels to get done or come up with a pivot idea if they don't get done. And, like, I won't know to the, you know, that week, and it's stressing me out. And I kind of said, like, hey, like, I could have, you know, they didn't say anything about turnaround on the email. Like, what are my options? It wasn't, like, a mean email, but it definitely was, like, I'm stressed out. I'm angry. I feel like I probably could have been nicer in the email. They're like, well, actually, you know, turnaround times are here on the website. You know, and so it was my fault. And then they emailed me like 2 days later, like, hey, we knew you were stressed out, so we got them done early. They're ready for pickup. So I just want to give a shout out to Fantastipack. Thank you for helping my printing needs. Sorry, I was a fucking asshole. I usually am. All right. Well, hey, anything else we want to talk about?
Quick plug to to the Seattle punk scene.
Okay.
When we were at El Corazon, I watched so many like 15 to 18-year-old kids circle pit, and man, people fall down, they pick them up. There was like zero meatheads.
Yeah,
it's such a healthy outlet for youth, I think, and it just brought back so many fun memories, and it made me so happy.
The kids are all right.
They are.
I will tell you this. Can I tell you one of my favorite concerts experience of all times happened to me this week? On Friday, sometime this week, we had a pizza party because we're going to do the pop-up. So Ariana made some pizza dough, and then we canceled it. And we're like, well, we have this pizza to go in. Let's have a little pizza party. So invite some people over, Hamdi comes over, and, you know, Burke and Katrina, and we're hanging out. I'm like, hey, I'm going to go see this DJ called Hamdi on Friday. And
I was wondering what the fuck. I was so confused.
I kept on making jokes about it all night at the pizza party. I'm like, ah, Hamdi's here. I'm seeing that. Blah, blah. And I made a couple posts about it. And then I go to the show, and I'm having a great time. Actually, we almost didn't go because, like, it's late. We're tired. And, you know, and it was, like, my one night to party. But then I booked this holy thing. So I was like, maybe I shouldn't party that hard.
Maybe I shouldn't stay out so late.
Yeah. And then
I'm
we,
old as
so
fuck.
We actually were like, we're not going. And then we're like, fuck it, let's go. And so we go out. We have the best time. And the middle of the concert, fucking Brett comes up to me. And, like, fucking Hamdi's there. I'm like... And they don't like, I don't know if they like this kind of music, but it just made no sense. And like, it was such a wonderful surprise to see them there. And they're like,
that's so cool.
Yeah, they're like, well, Hamdi ate at our restaurant, and they're like, put us on the guest list. So like,
oh my
that's
God.
What happened. So like, Hamdi went to go to the restaurant, and like, they met. And
that's so cool.
What's fun is, I don't like, because I posted the, like both those, you know, both Hamdis on Instagram. So I don't know. Maybe either Hamdi the DJ knew about the restaurant, or maybe I'm the one that like kind of got, you know, turned him on to it.
He's probably Googling himself
all the time. Like, every time I travel, I go, is there a Sid restaurant here?
Yeah. Yeah.
speaking of, here's crazy. I'll end it with this. On Instagram, there's thing like, oh, like post a picture of you when you're a kid. And
Jose did that.
I posted this picture of me in a Smashing Pumpkins hat and shirt because, like, when Siamese Dream came out was at 92. Like, that was my
You're
shit.
You're a big Billy fan.
Big Billy fan. Like, loved the Pumpkins, loved everything they did, obsessed. And so I posted this picture and I tagged him in it. And then they reposted it, like, to their 1 million followers. And I just kept thinking, like, like, if you could tell that kid, that Sid in 92, that, like, in what, you know, 30
it's 2024.
Years, yeah, I had, thank you. In 34 years that, or no, that math's not right, but whatever, that the Smashing Pumpkins were going to repost you, I'd be like, on Instagram, I'd be like, I don't know, what's
You'd
Instagram?
Be like, what's Instagram?
What's Instagram? All right, guys. Well, that was a lot of fun. Mike, fucking, I told you this, I'm really fucking proud of you. It's so cool to see your name, like, from going from me interviewing you 12 years, or, you know, whenever that was, to you having your name on a restaurant at Seattle Center. That's no easy feat. Like, that's fucking amazing. And you might have inspired me a little bit, because I was like, man, Kutu would do really good at the Seattle Center. So, I don't know. If I ever break my arm and can't be a one-man show, I might hit you up and be like, hey, can you help me open up a restaurant at Seattle Center? And Brennan, dude, thanks for coming out, man. I'm going to head there soon and get something that's not... Or maybe you can turn me on to pasta. Maybe make your best pasta dish, and
I'll try.
Well, guys, it's been a lot of fun. We'll see you on Saturday at Taco Libre or The Bear on Sunday. All right, guys, it's been fun. See you next time on...
The Seattle
Restaurant
Podcast. Thanks, guys.